Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fake the Nation, episode 365.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, and where we join new social media platforms only to secretly hope that they fail. I'm your host, Nagin Farsad, and I'm not on Threads or Blue Sky or Manana, or whatever. But give it a minute. I will probably begrudgingly join them. Today, we're going to talk about the Musk Zuck Twitter Threads cage match and literal cage match. We will also talk about SCOTUS on affirmative action, and finally, the no wash movement. What is it, and do you have to try it? Today, I'm joined. Today's panel, incredible panel. So you've heard her on this very show before. I've had the distinct pleasure of being able to see her perform live many times before. And oh, it's always a pleasure. It's always a treat. It's always, there's a frisson of excitement within the audience. She now has a new special that you can check out for yourself. It's called Feeling of Emptiness. It's on her YouTube channel. Very easy to check out. You have no excuses. Get in on that frisson of excitement by listening to the one and only Katie Hannigan. Hey, Katie.
Hello. Hello. It's so exciting to be here. Thank you, Nagin. It's amazing to see you, my fellow Bob wearer, with our summer looks here.
Summer looks, short hair. We're really doing it. I also would like to introduce the other panelists on today's show. Now, this is his first time joining the show, though. His reputation precedes him. He is quite hilarious, a comedy writer for The Problem with Jon Stewart, a comedian, an actor, just a talent machine, this man is. He is the incomparable Jay Jordan. Hey, Jay.
Hello, nice to finally meet via Zoom. This is great.
Oh my God, so excited to have you both. Apologies, the studio was booked, but we're really making this work here. And before we get into the show, I want to just remind listeners that if you enjoy this show, perhaps you've been enjoying also Succession recaps from this very podcast or the Bear recaps on this very podcast. You can also get more of what you love by going to patreon.com/Nagin Farsad. You get bonus episodes of the show for as little as $4 a month. That's an easy and quick way to support the show. Get bonus content. People love the bonus content. And it's been delightful over there. So go to patreon.com/Nagin Farsad to see what all the fuss is about. All right. Let us get into it with topic number one. So everyone is talking about Threads. It is a social media platform. Blah, and it looks a lot like Twitter. It's text-based posts, etc. People can have real-time conversations, that whole thing. Right now they're not doing hashtags, but I guess that's coming, whatever. And after its launch, it quickly became the most rapidly downloaded app ever. I can give you guys some more info about it, but at first blush, are you one of the gajillion Americans that have joined the Threads phenomenon?
100%. Okay. I am a sheep. I'm naive. I fall for everything. Put that nano chip in me. I don't care. I downloaded it the day, July 6th? The day I knew I could.
Katie, where are you on sheepliness?
I have a very regular pattern with new social media apps. I join it. I feel excited for a day. The second day I feel overwhelmed, and then I do not go back on. I go back on years later when I realize that that could have really helped my career.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's funny because also, did you guys have a moment? We're like, remember when Be Real was having a moment?
Yes.
And yeah. I believe we talked about it on this show because it's like sort of the anti-social platform. And for a second, I was like, oh, fuck, do I have to join Be Real? Like, or what was that one that was all audio and like Clubhouse or something?
Yes, the Clubhouse.
Oh. And I don't even know what's happening with Clubhouse, if it still exists.
We were fractured. Clubhouse came about because of the pandemic. And people just wanted to have like a talky space where they could like kind of do this, where they could like do a podcast just for free, for kicks, just by themselves. Yeah,
right. Like have a conversation.
Yeah.
I found Clubhouse so stressful. They should have called it like waiting for my turn to speak. You know? It wasn't like, you're not listening, you're not interested. You're just like, and I have something to add.
Katie, that is a good point because there is the element of Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces where there's this weird control element for the people who host it where they can mute you and they can like promote you to speak. So it was a power trip for some people.
First of all, Katie, I love your trajectory with new social media apps, which is that you join, have enthusiasm for a day and then fear and dread for the rest of your life. Because my particular trajectory with these things now, so unlike Jay, who just immediately did his job as a comedian, by the way, I feel like we're obligated under federal law to join every social media platform.
Of course, yes.
And until the Supreme Court says otherwise, I have to just do my legal duties. And I feel like the news came, I did not join. And then I was like, look, Nagin, you got to be a good podcaster. If you're going to talk about it, you really need to join to see what the action's all about. And I just fucking couldn't do it. For the listeners to know, because I don't want to lose any of my, if I ever had street cred as being a good podcaster, which jury is still out, but if I ever did have that, I did do a lot of reading about it. And I'm on a couple of threads where other users are telling me their thoughts. So I got a lot of feedback about this. Here's a couple of more details about it. Threads is going to have a 500 character limit, which I think blows Twitter out of the water by a couple hundred characters or something. The app also blends Instagram's existing aesthetic and navigation system, so you can share posts directly from Instagram. So it's kind of just like an outgrowth of Instagram. And then the reason why people like sheep like Jay, just mindless people like Jay.
Let me tell, people were already screenshotting tweets to put on Instagram. Their entire Instagram accounts that are just
screenshots of tweets. Absolutely. Yeah. But the reason why it's sort of became such a phenomenon is because Instagram already has the user base and they made it easy for you to just transport over. If you're verified, it's you just that check mark carries over. You're not rebuilding, you know what I mean? You're just sort of like it's an enhancement to your Instagram life.
Although I will say that makes it kind of actually less appealing for somebody like me. I don't have a huge Instagram following. So it's like now I'm just kind of like threading into the void, you know.
Would your ideal be to just Twitter to just go back to how it was? Like, what is your ideal for a person like you?
I mean, for me, Twitter, despite the fact that it's just totally raunchy and strange now with Elon Musk and everything, like, I do at least have my Twitter space is, like, very curated. So it's, like, I follow comedians, I follow, like, liberal journalists, and I follow, like, scientists. So when I go on my thread, I'm like, okay, like, or, you know, my feed, it's like, news, interesting things. You know, I'm on threads. I'm like, this is chaos. I don't know who this is.
Right.
It's kind of like very the early days of Twitter where people are like, I had a sandwich. It's like, that's not, you don't put that in the world.
Right.
No one cares about your milkshake.
Well, and the thing is, it's like Instagram has 2 billion global active users. And you know, Twitter's active user base was around 250 million. And it's interesting because Mark Zuckerberg said something like, you know, the world deserves a place where 1 billion people can have active conversations or something. And I was like, does the world, I mean, I have active conversations every day. I'm around human beings. Like, that's, yeah. Can we just like not act like people don't have active conversations unless they're fucking on a social media platform, Mark
Zuckerberg?
It's like
Zuckerberg. The false altruism so they don't get sued.
Okay.
This is for fun.
I feel like now I'm turning the corner because
okay,
I just
let's
thought
hear what you
about
have to say.
How bad Threads could be. You know how you know Threads is going to be bad? Have you ever read Instagram comments? These are the people who are also threading. So of course it's just someone being like, I pooped today. Anyone else? And you're like, oh my God, we're here already.
I don't want to have an active conversation with the man who's telling me that I'm stupid for not having children. I don't want to invite him into my space.
You know, it's interesting, Jay, that you mentioned like these are the people on Instagram that are going to be on Threads because Instagram has a reputation. Now, I wonder where the reputation is now. This is my question for you, Jay. Like, you mentioned these are the people on Threads. I feel like in recent, you know, in the last year, the posts that the comments I get on Instagram, you know, there's posts from people who actually like or tolerate me as a human being. And those comments are, you know, generally good or whatever, you know, it's not like I need people to tell me good mm-hmm. things all the time, but like, they're just not mean. But like, you know, I'm sure the three of us post a lot of stand up and, you know, there'll be regular posts of like people engaging in the content, but then there'll just be posts of like, is this bitch even funny or whatever,
oh,
right?
Yes.
And like that yes. stuff, which I kind of was like, oh, I thought we weren't doing that on Instagram, but we're definitely doing that on Instagram.
Well, reels. Yeah. It's like the kind of pivot to video format of Instagram, because a lot of times, truly for the up until past year and a half, maybe 2 years, it was mostly just pictures of things. And when people see a picture, they're like, that looks like a great vacation. Or they'll just be like, you're really filling out that bathing suit. And even that was at least positive.
Right.
What I think people have kind of turned it into the YouTube comment section, particularly when non-straight, non-white, non-male people do stand up. Sometimes you'll just be like, I know they're coming. It's like, it's so odd to see that on Instagram, because Instagram wasn't that. And the minute you introduce and kind of like prioritize a video component of Instagram, of course it's gonna become that.
Yeah, a grossness descends when you introduce video, and it just can't help itself. Katie, you were gonna say?
I almost feel like it's part of the appeal that, you know, Facebook is kind of offering this. Like, if you are an angry person and you want to actively abuse people who are in the arts, like, have at it. Like, hate your boss and you don't want to say anything, why don't you tell a woman that she's ugly? You know, it's just, I think like people really, it really fills some kind of void that angry people have to just get on, right. And say, you know, like,
so
you're
maybe,
not doing anything with your life.
These people, they can't afford therapy. So this is their session.
I don't know,
is
Katie.
Watching-
right. Is like, as a public service, Katie, I'm almost like, if you need to tell me that I'm a dumb bitch on my Reels comments, but you then don't go do something toxic to someone else, I'll provide that public service. You know what I mean? I don't love it.
Yes.
I don't love it. But if it's really going to help you.
y'all deserve rewards. No, don't do that. Don't let these tiny digged imbeciles fucking. No. And these are the same people. Oh my God. This is what I love about it. Because they always tell themselves, because these are the same people that when Threads happen and people were like, oh, Zuckerberg's kind of crushing it. Some people who are kind of in that weird liminal space between Twitter, Instagram, and now Threads, they're like, well, I mean, like, Elon's not the worst, right? And everyone's like, no, he's a piece of shit. Did you think we were going to be nice to him on this competition app to Twitter? Did you think we were going to say nice things about him here? Twitter went down today, and people on Threads were like, yeah, it's fucked up over there. Like, just pointing to a house that's on fire. Like, can you believe people live there?
It's hilarious. And speaking of tiny dicked people, let us talk about Elon and Mark, who literally Elon said, I think in the last couple of days something about a literal dick measuring contest.
Which, no.
Between the two of them. Between the, which is what?
Elon Musk is moments away from having his own reality show.
Oh,
and
God.
I will celebrate it and I will watch the garbage fire that it will be.
I mean, he might want the revenue flow from a reality show because Twitter is doing so poorly.
Right? It's so weird to see him still want to try to be funny when we've seen him fail at it very publicly twice.
Yeah.
If he could have died, the guy who was obsessed with electrical cars. Yeah, sometimes they blew up. Yeah, sometimes they ran over pedestrians. But the only thing that this man dedicated his life to was making sure everyone had access to an electrical vehicle. He would have died good, neutral.
Right.
That's how he would have died.
Legacy. Yeah, yeah. His legacy would have been...
We would have been like...
A grand legacy. And now he's definitely besmirching it.
We just would have been like, so he had PayPal money from Emeralds and now he makes car. Okay, cool. But he just continues to ruin it by being like, isn't it cool that I hate my trans child? Isn't that cool? Isn't cisgender a slur? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's obsessed with celebrity culture. It's like, it's actually kind of vile, you know, like going to the Met Gala and parading himself and parading the fact that, like, smoking pot on Joe Rogan. It's like, you want people to, like, think that you're really cool, and it's just gross.
It's so interesting for Mark Zuckerberg to feel like the Zen kind of stable person in this scenario, like you know, like the protagonist you're rooting for. It's like it's so interesting, and what a great PR move for Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, it's wild because you know what it really feels like. We're all in a classroom, all of us, and the two weird kids are fighting.
Yeah,
and we can't do anything. We were promised a movie and a pizza party, but they keep fighting and stopping us from being able to watch Remember the Titans and eat cold pepperoni pizza. It's weird. And now we're rooting for one of them. He posted a shirtless pic yesterday, and there are so many gay
men. Mark Zuckerberg
posted a shirtless pic yesterday, and I'm not going to shame all of the gay men on my Twitter who said that they were thinking thoughts about Mark Zuckerberg. But you know who you are. Ooh. Stop that. You don't have to eat this way. You don't have to live like this, okay? Mm-hmm. There's actual porn on there. Don't do that.
My mom told me that, like, in the 80s, she could make the argument for Donald Trump being attractive. And I was like, we're not, you know what? You got to go back to Iran. We're not doing, you know, like, we're not.
Wait. But you're going back to Iran.
Better go back.
You're going back to Iran. Do you see what you just did? No.
All right, folks, listeners of Fake the Nation, are you on Threads? Should I just fucking join it, like, and take the 5 minutes? I just, oh God. Because, oh, this is the last thing I wanted to say was, remember how Google Plus dominated the world?
Oh
Jesus. Wait, it totally didn't. We could all immediately join.
I had a Google Plus account.
Yes, everyone fucking had a Google Plus account because everyone had Gmail.
I still do? Do I?
Oh, I think they deleted it from the world. I think they deleted it from the world.
Yeah, thankfully.
I mean, from
you
my six posts are really sadly missed by the public.
It's like you can only create so much content. So it's like every social media app is now, it's just the same thing, which is like the one thing you thought of that day and a hot photo that you recently took.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it should be. There should be a policing system that says, give me your brain stuff. And give me the outside. That's it. Cut it off. Shut it down.
Two posts, and then go to sleep.
Yeah.
You take a nap.
Two posts a day?
Yeah, the yin and the yang.
Oh, yin and the yang. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I
see what you mean.
I like that.
And on a body. Okay.
Which,
by the way, I would like to make the case to everyone for the Instagram of yore where it was pictures of what you're seeing, not pictures of what you look like.
Oh, yes, I would love that.
Because I thought that was way more interesting. I mean, as someone who also does post pictures of fucking myself, like as a professional, begrudgingly sometimes, but it seems like just like everyone has to in the business. But mm-hmm. I used to just enjoy being like someone being like, oh, I saw this lilac. And I'm like, you know what? That's a fucking beautiful lilac. You know, like that's, I don't need to fucking see your face.
You know,
I know what you look like.
Snarky culture took that away from us.
Yeah.
Because now if someone does that, you'll be like, oh, why are you Instagramming like a mom? Because they're happy.
Or I'll say like, I love like a vacation slideshow. Oh. I want to live through your vacation. Yeah. I want to pretend that I'm there with you.
Yes,
like
I can see that.
I love those.
Yeah.
Sea
but
turtles?
They never do well.
They never
yeah,
do
they never
well.
Do
and
well
everything's about how someone's
like,
performing. And that's why all of this is incredibly inauthentic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are you on Threads? Should I join? What do you think? By the way, I don't think that cage match is happening. I don't know. We'll keep you posted on if the actual cage match is going to happen. Apparently, Elon Musk's mother stepped in and was like, this cage match is not happening. So let's see. We will keep you posted. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break to learn about our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll continue to discuss, in fact, more important things. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back and we're ready to launch into topic number two. So while we were gone on vacay last week, the Supreme Court ruled that institutions like universities cannot use race as a factor in the admissions process. They cited the 14th Amendment, which prohibits discrimination based on race. This is, by the way, popularly regarded, probably referred to as affirmative action. And here's something that's interesting to me. The opinion is actually in line with popular opinion, as most Americans oppose race as a consideration, race or ethnicity as a consideration in college admissions. Even in a place that's as liberal as California, the public voted twice to prohibit affirmative action. So now, Jay, I happen to notice that you are a black man, I believe.
Yes, yes.
Is that
yes.
accurate? Okay.
Yes.
What was your, can you go ahead and speak for the entire black community?
All right.
And let me know your thoughts on this Supreme Court decision.
When I got off of the phone with Clarence, I called Clarence. The first thing I said was, good job. No, now, wow. It's such a weird combination of things that could only truly happen in America, because we have these four different sort of like factors that lead to this. We have college being inaccessible. We have people understanding that there has been a history of discrimination in this country on top of that. But then we also have this weird pitting of East Asian Americans against black people at collegiate institutions for the benefit of white legacy students. So we have people thinking that their spots, quote unquote, are being taken by undesirables, i.e. black and brown people, because now, and this is where it gets like very case by case and super specific and weird. Now, some institutions, specifically in California, have, and on Ivy League campuses on the East Coast too, have enough Asian American students that for that to be a minority on campus would necessarily not be minority on a technicality when it comes to the racial makeup of the school. So we have all these contributing factors that are starting to make it hard for people to, and pun woefully unintended, see this as a black and white thing. Like, it starts to get extremely complex.
Yeah,
and
right.
I hate that now we've just fully said, all right, we'll never consider race. Because will schools get whiter? Probably. Will incoming classes be as diverse as they were previously? Probably not. And now legacy admission isn't taken into consideration. So it's like this weird sort of like, they want it to be a Band-Aid for a different problem, but it creates another problem. It's just so short-sighted and stupid, in my opinion.
Katie?
Well, as also a black male, I'd like to put in my two cents. Well, I just can't understand how it's constitutional to have the legacy admissions.
Right. Which
I
is now going to be...
I can't wrap my mind right. around it. You know, I think that, like, a lot of the reason that people oppose the affirmative action is because they think for some reason that people are being given a spot without being deserving of it. And that's not the case. I mean, the case is the people that are getting the legacy admissions are the ones who are given the space without being deserving. So, I mean, I just agree with Jay. I think it's so convoluted and it's so, you know, everything that happens with the Supreme Court now is just frustrating and upsetting, you know, with the gay rights and the cake, you know, doing the bakery and the
that
website.
That was a hypothetical cake, right? Didn't it come out that was a fictional man that the person created? Like
the website was hypothetical.
Yeah.
The website, yeah, it's like, talk about, you know, the website design, unintelligent design. That was my tweet.
good tweet.
But yeah, so... Thank you. I mean, it's hard to even say anything. It's like, it's just embarrassing. It's sad. I think that, you know, nobody really should even go to college anymore at this point. You're just going for communications when you're going to have to work in IT. So it's like, let's just scrap the whole thing. You don't want to be in debt forever. So, you know, unless you're going to be a doctor or a scientist, just don't worry about it.
Okay. Now, I want to just point out a couple of specific things here. You can still write in your application your race. You can still write it in the about it in your essay. Ooh. So there are places where race can still like play a role, right? It just can't be like the determining role. And here's just another little detail from the case. Sonia Sotomayor said in her dissenting ruling, she said this ruling, from her dissenting comments, this ruling cements a superficial rule of colorblindness as a constitutional principle in an endemically segregated society where race has always mattered and continues to matter, which is a little bit what Jay was saying, but I got to be honest, she said it better.
Yeah.
Very concise.
I'm not going to lie. Justice Sotomayor, yeah, she's pretty good at the words.
At the words, yeah. Now here's something that I think, like, so one of my, I just saw over the holidays, one of my best friends who also happens to be Black, and then my husband also happens to be Black. So we talked about this stuff a bunch, and I was, you know, I read a couple of pieces that gave me a really kind of silver lining on the possibilities, which if you look at a school like UC Davis, UC Davis has a really pretty decent record of diversity, especially so it's met the, and the piece I read centered on the medical school. In its most recent entering class of 133 students, 14% were Black. I think the national average is like 13%.
Yeah. And that's the crazy part. That's what you want it to be.
Right. But this is in UC Davis that does not use affirmative action. They use something called the adversity scale. 14% were Black, 30% were Hispanic. Again, these are numbers that are matching the national average. Nationally, 10% of medical school students were Black and 12% were Hispanic. And again, you're looking like, especially when you're looking at that Hispanic population, like that's so below the national average of the Hispanic population. A vast majority of the UC Davis class, 84%, come from a disadvantaged background. 42% are the first in their family to go to college. And their scale by which they, so again, affirmative action has been banned in California, right? For a minute now, like we haven't had it. So the numbers we're looking at here are like a case study for our possible future, which is why I'm talking about silver linings here. Not possible silver linings. Obviously, there's like 1,000 ways to fuck this up. One of the things that we definitely do need to do, and you mentioned this, Katie, is we need to get rid of legacy, because obviously that is directly taking spots away from, you know, the possibility of making this more equitable. But the UC Davis scale has 8 categories, and they basically give each candidate an adversity score. And that's how they like figure it out. Students from underrepresented groups grew to 15.3% from 10%. That's before they had instituted the adversity score. And at the same time, here's the thing that like the Harvards of the world always talk about. They talk about, we don't want to tolerate a reduction in test scores because we're letting in more
the riffraff.
The riffraff. the disgusting riffraff.
Yeah.
This is what happened at UC Davis. Scores from the MCAT, which is the standardized test that people, it's like the SAT, but for medical school, they dropped only marginally. And if you look at what if Harvard were to sort of institute this, they would have to maybe go from a 99 percentile SAT score to a 98 percentile SAT score, which as an arbiter of the entire educational system and the foremost expert, I'm going to say is not a big deal. It's not enough of a marginal change to complain about it. You know what I mean? Are you guys with me on this?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Or are you guys fucking dicks? That's my leading question.
What if we're like, no.
I'm 100% with you. I'm 100%. I mean, Harvard just has such, you know, Harvard, Yale, all of these schools, they have that name recognition, but it just seems like it would impact their reputation more to know that, like, if you go to school there, maybe you'll be able to name drop Harvard, but you know, now what's their reputation? It's you know, becoming like, oh, it's just a whitewashed campus because it's just like, legacy people.
I got into Harvard, but I'm going to go into this community school because Harvard went from 99 percentile to 98 on the SAT. Yeah. So they basically mean nothing.
And that's like the kind of talk and numbers that limited. That's the kind of talk that people at these like institutions in the higher echelons, that's exactly what they're scared of. They're scared of someone being like, well, it's not really what it used to be. And when people say stuff like that, yes, there's an implication that it maybe it's tied to like test scores, but sometimes they're definitely talking about having too many Black and brown people on campus. And like, it's this weird combination of both race, socioeconomic class, and like, I guess, for lack of a better word, like being prepared for the school. Like no Black person who gets into Harvard or is pursued by Harvard or any of the Ivies is unprepared for that institution academically. Culturally, there might be a bit of a shift and a shock. But like no one who's taking AP courses, doing tons of extracurriculars, Model UN and shit, is unprepared for freshman seminar courses. I promise you.
I mean, would you, so if they, let's say Harvard were to take on something like an adversity score like they do at UC Davis, knowing that that affirmative action is now illegal, what would you feel better about the situation? I mean, is it really now in their hands to like make this right?
Like, well, have some sort of measure in place for equity to make sure that it is equitable, to make sure that they're not regressing too much. Because the argument is that white and East Asian students were not getting into these institutions, and those were the people who were bringing the cases forward. So if those people now still don't get in those institutions because a whole new set of rigors have been put into place, then good.
Yeah.
Because you tested your theory, you had a hypothesis, you experimented, came to a conclusion.
Katie?
Yeah. Well, I also think, you know, it's like we were saying, like part of the reason people want to go to Harvard is to connect with people whose families are in the Illuminati. And if they allow everyone in there, then it's like, you know, you're not going to meet whomever's son,
right,
and fall in love with him and start a family together.
Right. Which is why at the end of the day, which is why I don't know, to be honest, I can't even understand the stated reason how you can argue for legacy, but in sort of maintaining the sort of elite community that surrounds the school, that's like the argument for retaining legacy. And I will say, like, look, I'll just say it sounds nice, I guess, to be like, oh, generations of my family went to this school. Like, I would love for my daughter to go to the schools I went to. That sounds nice. But I would love to also think that I have the moral and ethical fortitude to not utilize any connections at all whatsoever when it comes time for her to apply those schools. I would love to think that I am like that person, right? But like, when push comes to shove, I'm not sure. When you're a parent, you just start doing crazy things because you want to fucking do right by your children, which is why like that one woman got caught in a thing and went to jail, that actor, Felicity Huffman.
Aunt Becky.
Right.
And Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin, exactly. You're just I guess I'm in jail now because I just like fucking did a thing because I knew it was wrong, but I love my kid and I want her to have the thing.
Okay, they did something that's a bit more than my daughter's a legacy. She should get in. They lied about their daughters playing sports.
I think and I hope that like as we continue to evolve the social consciousness, at least on the left side, it will become actually important for students to go to a school that has diversity, you know, especially for white students. They'll want to go to a university. And I mean, we do even ostensibly have that now. Of course, there's like the showboating of like that classic joke of like the college brochure where it's like a mixed race person, then a person from over here, a person from over there, a person with Native American heritage, and then you there with your new friends, you know, your new podcast, like recording, you know, so like I don't remember thinking that that was important when I went to school, but I do remember being in a school that was like majority white and kind of wishing that I had looked into it more because it felt, you know, and I had friends who were of minorities at my college and them saying, you know, it's like, it's weird for us to be here because we're like, basically I'm here on a scholarship because I'm the only, you know, the only Asian person, like even in this program. And so I think if I had had, you know, more, like more social awareness, it would have been something that I would have looked for.
Yeah.
In choosing school, also, although I only applied to two. So,
and I would also say, to give myself the last word in closing, that, if we're worried, like, I love the idea of really aggressively looking at class as a metric to see if that can have an impact on race, if race is now something we're not allowed to look at.
Yeah.
And if it comes to lowering standardized test scores, to be able to do that, and the drop is so marginal from 99 to 98 percentile, i.e., I would say to Harvard, because as we know, that entire school listens to this podcast.
Yes.
I would say to Harvard, you guys, give it a few years and those test scores will actually correct themselves because you'd be changing the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
right? So you need give it like a half a generation and you'll start to see those test scores inch back up. And then you'll not only be super elite, but you'll go back to being unbearably super elite. And so it's like, you know what I mean? And we're all going to be fine. Let's just start looking at different metrics. Let's obviously get rid of legacy so I'm not tempted when my daughter's of age. Let's do all of that. Okay. All right.
That went to Harvard, though, currently for the past like 3 years, this is how they say they went to Harvard. Well, I went to school in Massachusetts.
But I know. I mean,
like, they're all very like.
It's either that or there's a couple
or
of.
Harvard.
There's a couple
of
comedians.
Are wearing the shirt and the hat.
They mention it within the first two sentences of whatever you're talking about.
Yeah,
you're
like
talking
whoa.
About hamburgers. And they'll be like, oh my God, there's this great hamburger at Harvard where I went to school. And you're like, fuck me. Yeah, so it's one of two types.
I did not ask you that.
All right, folks, let us move on to topic number three. Are you ready for it? There is something called the no wash movement, which is basically saving the environment and saving money by washing your clothes less. We read an article about this in The Guardian, and it started with a guy who'd been doing less washing during the pandemic, and then he had a kid and felt overwhelmed and decided to cut even more laundry out of his schedule. And then he went a full year without washing his clothes in a machine. I would like you to react.
I read this and I know I was just immediate fury, anger. I noticed that a lot of the people on the no washing movement are straight men. Not to profile, but I am connecting the dots here.
Weird sort of accident where it's like, it just happens. But a lot of these straight dudes.
So who's doing the linens in your home? Because it's your wife, right? Like, your wife isn't going to let you sleep in bed sheets for a full year because that's not hygienic. She's not going to let you use the same towel. Like, that's how you get scabies.
Well, also, like,
I'm not a doctor, but
okay, we've all done the tiniest version of this. This concept is not completely alien. We've all been like, is this shirt?
Yeah.
Okay, I get one more day with this shirt.
Yeah. Yes.
But we're talking about taking this to an extreme and then being like, no, 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 it's because I care about the earth. Shut the fuck up.
No,
you're
you don't.
Lying.
No, you don't.
You care about the earth? Not after 3 days, you don't.
There's plenty of other things that you can do to be environmentally conscious. Like, I wash my clothes maybe once every other week. I always use cold water and I use like organic soap and I use like the dish soap bar.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm still cleaning. I'm still putting, you know. I just found it to be a covering something else.
And it was like socks and underwear too. Once again, there's some garments that aren't really touching your body enough that you're like, okay, you know, I get. But like socks and underwear? And then not watching the kids' clothes?
Yeah.
What?
I feel bad for the wife. Like, my husband just wears sandals now. It's
for
the earth.
That was,
no, it's not.
That one
Get
was
out.
Really upsetting that he basically, that was one of his main ways of cutting down was wearing no socks and sandals, including during the months of winter.
Yeah. And you know, his foot doesn't look good.
Yeah.
He's lazy.
He's not getting a
He's too lazy
not
to take care of his toenails.
And he said you can basically get underwear to by the way, this guy's British.
He's
can
a
we
liar.
Just also
He's a
this
liar.
Guy this guy's British. Mm-hmm. I just want to go put country blame where country blame exists. Yes. He said that you can get pants to last a week. By the way, love our British listeners. Okay, for the record.
Ugh.
He said you can get pants to last a week. And the interviewer asked him, how do you get a week's worth of wear pants? By that, I mean underwear, because that's what they say. They say they call them pants. And the interviewer asked, like, basically, how do you wear underwear for a week? Like, how do you make them last for a week? And he said, you just have to have very low standards, was his answer.
Yeah, and not a vagina also.
I mean,
this is that's wild, you know those underwear were standing up straight. Those underwear, this is disgusting.
Oh, God, that makes me cry. But well, I will say that, like, so my Iranian family would come to America and stay with us for long periods, and they do get, like, wash clothes less, because the idea is to make a piece of clothing last forever, you know. And so and I totally, like, there are dresses and stuff like that, like special, like, outfits that are, like, very outfitty that require dry clean or whatever, like, and I want them to last forever. They're, like, special. Those are actually things that, like, I do not wash every time I wear.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. You're not washing a suit, right? Every time
no.
you wear your suit.
No.
There you
no,
go.
No.
That's why
and
that's
I
the
have a
craziness
steamer
of
too.
This.
Yeah.
He's taking something that we are, the no wash
that
movement
we already
is something
do.
We already
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
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 To varying degrees for a number of cases.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing underwear for a week into this?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's
yes.
going? Why are you giving up socks for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to do a load every single day. And it did seem like there were people operating on the other extremes of that, which is totally foreign to me as someone who's not had a washing machine in their home for my entire young adult life, you know.
Yeah.
Of course you wouldn't be running a load every single day. Although I will say, like, I'm in workout culture. I am involved in it. And you better not be wearing that sports bra for too many days because that's off-putting.
But also, you know, the great Kendra Cunningham, comedian who has been on this show, has
Love
a
her.
Joke about, like, her boo. You should look up that. Maybe this joke is on YouTube. Either way, you should follow everything Kendra Cunningham does because she's hilarious. But she has her joke about wearing a bra too long, and then her boobs started to itch, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, the doctor's like, "Have you washed your bra?" And she, like, had this just shock of realization that she had not washed this bra in a long time. And she does it much better. It's a hilarious bit. And but it's like, yeah, you have to wash these things. You end up getting skin conditions. And then the other thing is, I remember a friend of mine had bed bugs. Shout out to everyone who's dealt with bed bugs. And she was saying, and she told me this thing, and it put the fear of the Lord in me, which was, you should be washing your sheets all the time because the skin particles that come off onto your sheet are what those bed bugs eat. And if there aren't enough for them to eat, then they, like, don't thrive, you know? So wash your sheets all the time. And I was like, I mean, that's a fantastic reminder that I should wash them probably more than I do.
It's just, we're already, the thing that is so frustrating about a no wash movement is, like, we all are being like, okay, well, this is a case that makes sense.
Right.
This is this. But, like, when you want an article written about this new thing that you're on, and this new thing is just you wallowing in your own filth, because you're bathing most of these days, but you're putting the clothes on that you've sweat in, you're putting them back on your freshly washed body. They're just parts of it that make me go, you don't buy this. You can't.
Right.
It doesn't add up.
Yeah. It's doing it from a point of saying, like, this false sense of altruism, like, I'm saving the planet. Like, there are so many other things that you could do. And if you are buying more and more clothes, probably contributing to the fast fashion industry, so you don't have to then wash those clothes. It's like, there are so many things that you could do. I mean, get an electric car.
Also, I do think, you know, if someone wanted to stake their claim on washing on cold, because that is a very, like, excessive American thing to do, is wash your clothes
absolutely
on hot. Like, that's actually, I remember living in France, which I've probably mentioned before, but I've lived in France. And when I lived in France, like, they don't actually, like, washing on hot is not extremely common. Like, it's not something that you do all the time. Also, they have, like, really small laundry machines. Everything's much smaller. Like, you know, you are doing just generally less laundry. And you're also just doing it on cold. And I think you're right, Jay. It's like, we've been doing this and now you decided to name it. Like, get out of here. Like, yeah.
Washing on cold is the way to go. It's also better for your clothes. Better for your clothes. You're not going to ruin anything on hot.
It retains the color better as well. So, you know. Well, folks, I want you to weigh in. Are you a part of the no wash movement, or are you part of Jay's movement, which is, this is a dumb thing that didn't require to be named? What movement are you in? Hit me up on Threads. Kidding, I'm not on Threads. All right, that is the end of the show. Oh my God, the two of you are such an utter fucking delight. What a gift to be able to chat with the two of you about wide-ranging topics that affect America today. I would love for the people of Fake Nation to be able to follow you and all the wonderful things that you do. Katie Hannigan, where do they do that?
I am at Katie Hannigan Forever on Instagram and Threads also, I think. And and I am on YouTube at Katie Hannigan Forever as well. So please check out my special. And I also have a podcast called Lady Journey. Excuse me, that's my birth control alarm.
Yes. That's a great plug for the special, by the way.
Yes. Don't forget to take your birth control, and don't forget to watch Katie's new special. You're going to love it. I promise you that. She is always so hilarious. Jay Jordan, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all social media, just at Jay Jordan, JayJurden. Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky. There's no one there. It's just me. It's just me by myself on Blue Sky. Also, I'm on tour this summer. If you go to any of those social media accounts, you click my link tree, you can find tickets for the tour I'm on this summer, which is called the Kinda Sorta Sorta Kinda Tour. Because I'm kinda sorta kinda on tour, but not really.
No, yeah. How many tours like that have I done? So many.
Right?
Folks, you know where to find me and all the things that I do, but what I would really love to do is thank the wonderful people who make this show a possibility. That's our phenomenal producer, Andrew McGuire. Woo-hoo! Thanks so much to Gabby Alter for our theme music. Thanks so much to everyone at HeadGum for making this show a possibility. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please feel free to reach out to us at fakethenationpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's fakethenationpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to support the show by going to patreon.com/NagineFarsad, and we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.